Amen. T minus 20 minutes and counting. That's all we have. I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. If you get to Peter and Revelation and John, you went too far. Come left. If you're at Romans and Thessalonica, just beyond Thessalonica and 1 Timothy, you're getting there. 2 Timothy verses 1 through 5. We're going to spend some time today. I wrestled with, do you preach on the great homecoming day? Do you preach about mothers? And I think that my own mother, who is in glory, stepped up and said, "Lord, you tell him what to preach on, and it better be on mothers." Amen. You see, God said that when He created us, He created them, male and female. People don't think of the motherly side of God, but God has those qualities also. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and really 1 through 6. And I'd ask you, if you're able to stand, we're going to read this very quickly, and then we're going to jump in. As we come to this particular book, Paul, this is an epistle. It is a letter from Paul to the churches, but it's addressed to the pastor of the church at Ephesus by the name of Timothy. And so Timothy has taken over for Paul there, and this really is just a tender letter that Paul is writing to him, and we'll look at it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. You see in verse 2, to Timothy, my beloved son, and it was not his physical son, but Timothy was his protege. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I served, in verse 3, he says, with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember, and again he's speaking to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I remember you in my prayers night and day, and longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. The Apostle Paul is in a Roman prison at this point, and his future is uncertain, but he says, I long to see you. Then in verse 5, he says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the important passage today is, Paul says that your faith that you received came first through your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And he says, and I realize now that it's in you as well. For this I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What Paul means there is, Timothy, I, as Christ called you and set you apart for ministry, laid my hands upon you and I gave you the responsibility to be the pastor at Ephesus. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power and love and discipline. You may be seated. I want us to take a moment and just think about receiving a letter like this. Here is Timothy, and he longs to see his friend Paul. As he begins to read the letter, his heart is stirred as he thinks of his spiritual father, Paul. He gets into those verses, and he begins to read a few lines, and he swells with pride with those first few words in verses 2 or 3, where Paul speaks of the grace and mercy that is in him and that he was doing like his forefathers. On the fourth line, really the fourth verse, you begin to see that Timothy probably is if he read the letter, as you maybe have before when you got a tender love letter from someone, not a love letter from your spouse, but from a friend or a loved one. His hands begin to shake and tears begin to roll down his cheeks as he thought, oh, how I long to see my friend Paul. And then as he got down, he pauses and he gets to verse 5. Suddenly, I believe, as Timothy read this, he was no longer in Ephesus, But I believe he's a young boy sitting there playing at the feet of his grandmother and his mother as they share with him the sacred writings and the Word of God and the new truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, he's a young boy and he's learning the importance of faith. And daily, the scripture says in another chapter, it says that Timothy received daily instruction about Christ. Oh, he thinks of them. He thinks of Eunice and he thinks of Lois, like I do of my own mother and many of you do of yours, who is home in glory. Oh, how I would long to see them. He thinks of what a legacy of faith has been a part of his life. He thinks of his grandmother and how much she, who came to know Jesus first, had loved him and his mother. He thinks of how his grandmother had passed her faith, her legacy of faith, down to the mother. And then there's the mother. Being a godly, responsible mother, she has passed her belief in Christ, her legacy of faith, down to Timothy. And then Timothy thinks, you know, it's enough that I had a godly grandmother and a believing mother, but here my life has been touched by, and he didn't know that at the time, the greatest of all, what I think is the greatest of all the apostles, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And Timothy goes, you know, I am indeed a blessed man. I have a legacy that is something to hold on to. You know, the scripture, again in verse 5, Paul says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which was first in your grandmother and then in your mother, and then it's in now in you as well." The scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot more about Eunice and Lois. But what it says about that grandmother and about that mother is so important. And that is that they passed their faith down to their children and grandchildren. You see, if grandmother had not been a responsible grandmother, her daughter would have never come to know about Christ. If mother had not been a responsible mother, her son Timothy would never have been able to be called of God and used of God in the way he was. Old Timothy got a wonderful, wonderful legacy. And with that legacy of faith that his grandmother and mother passed down to him, God was able to use Timothy. You see, you never know, grandmothers and mothers, how your influence is going to change the next and the next and the next generation. Here's Timothy. He's got one of the toughest jobs on earth. He's the pastor of the church at Ephesus. The temple of Diana was there, a known temple prostitute cult, and it was just a city that had everything going on. It's tough enough to pastor a church, and this is a new church, in a city where Christianity wasn't the main thing. There wasn't a church on every corner in Ephesus. The way, or the Christians, were not really well respected. So Timothy has been given that tough responsibility of now being the pastor of that church. But can you imagine, of all things, having to follow the Apostle Paul as the pastor? They had a pretty good first pastor. So Paul, in his writing, has encouraged Timothy to hold on to his faith, that which his grandmother and his mother had passed on to him. He says again, remember that faith that your mother and grandmother passed on to you. Well, mothers and fathers, in this day, there are a lot of important things we can teach our children. There really are a lot of important things we can teach our children. And as I shared with you last week in the Lost Generation, for those of you that weren't with us, we studied a passage of Scripture that spoke of a time with the Hebrew people, with the Jews, when a generation came up that didn't know the Lord or the things of the Lord. We're seeing that happen in our own generation. Why didn't they know the things of the Lord? Because the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the mothers and the fathers had not passed their faith directly on to their children. Thank God that it's turned around. And Timothy here, we have something that they passed down to him. Now let me tell you what they passed down to Timothy. They passed down something that'll never wear out. It'll never be old. It'll never be stolen. And it'll never be outdated. You see, you can give your children things, but they're going to get rid of those things. I remember Dr. James Dobson. Adam was not far from getting ready to go off to college, and he was going to be leaving the nest, and his mother and I, neither one were excited about that. I knew I had to take up all his chores. I'd worked him like a field hand, I tell you, I had. And his mother was going to miss her only child. And I remember Dr. James Dobson when his son Ryan finally left the nest, the last of his children. And he looked out, and I'm reading a little letter, and he says, you know, I look out, and there's a broken swing set. And over there in the side of the garage is a bicycle that has some rust on it. And he began to reflect on the memories. And he said, but I know one thing that I've done. I've passed on my faith to my children. The things I gave them have worn out and will wear out. The physical things, the material things. But the faith that I passed on to them will last. And I could say the same with my own son who at a very early age came to know the Lord. Let me tell you something. Your faith in God and in Jesus Christ your Lord is something very, very vital to pass on to your children. So I'm going to take just a few moments just to share some things that you mothers and you fathers, but today you mothers can pass on to your children. First of all, you can teach them the truth about God. You can teach them that God doesn't live way up there, and He's not sitting on the throne, and He's not some big bad guy who's waiting to squash you when you make a mistake. You can teach them about the God who loves you, the God that will forgive you, the God that loved you enough that He sent His only Son, the only one He had, to come and die in your place and in your son's place and your grandchildren's place so that you might have a relationship with Him. And on top of that, we get the bonus of eternal life. Moms, I want to tell you, if you will teach your children that, you will pass on to them a legacy. If you'll pass on to them the legacy, that they'll understand how much God loves them and that He's not someone to be afraid of. That you'll teach them about those wonderful things. One, if you'll teach them about God's principles for a happy life. You know, we talk a lot, and they're not allowed in certain places anymore, but it amazes me that they're not allowed in the schools or anywhere else. But sitting back behind the justices of the Supreme Court, anybody know what's on the wall behind them? The Ten Commandments. You see, if you will teach your children about God's rules and God's principles, you'll find out what it took me a long time to find out, and that is that God didn't give us the Ten Commandments as a series of don'ts. The first one, to love God supremely, all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. The first are vertical. That's your relationship with you and God. The rest are horizontal. That's our relationship with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, think how wonderful this world would be if we didn't have killing, we didn't have stealing, we didn't have adultery. Think of the homes that have been broken up by adultery. And people go, well, God, they should know. God just said, I'm going to build a fence. And I'm going to lay out principles. And if you live within those, you'll have, if we didn't covet, if we didn't want what somebody else has had, we just receive. Teach your children that that's what God says. He doesn't say that you can't. He says, no, you just live this way and your life will be so much better. Teach them to forgive. To forgive, 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 forgive. And I won't look at Adam when I say this, but the one thing that I've taught my child, his mother and I were not afraid to say we made mistakes. Every time his mother made a mistake, I told him.
No, I've never been afraid to say to Adam, hey, I've messed up from time to time. Please forgive me. You know what? I want to tell you that I know that that means something to me, and I hope it means something to him. That as a parent at times, don't you run, plug his ears, please. I wasn't perfect, okay? He knew that. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen. Teach them to forgive. To forgive you and to forgive others. And then you show them. Teach them, thirdly, how to pray. How to talk honestly to God. Oh, he's not some big Santa Claus who gives you everything you want. But he's not some big bad guy who's waiting to bust you if you ask for the wrong thing. He's a God who will let you, if you have to, shake your fist at him and say, God, it hurts too bad. I remember as a senior at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, my mother has died. The one womanly influence in my life is going to leave me before I'm ready. And I was angry with God. I was hurting and I was angry and I said, God, it's not fair. And I said some things to God that people don't think you ought to say. But here I am all these years later, and he hadn't killed me yet. He just put his arms around me and loved me. And he said, it's okay. You don't have to understand everything, and not every prayer will get answered. Show them that life isn't perfect, but reflect Jesus. Just show them what Jesus was all about. Jesus was about loving people, forgiving people, but he was also about holding people to accountability. Jesus wasn't afraid to talk about sin. People say that Jesus talked about heaven. If you'll study the Bible closely, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. There was the reality of it. And if you'll do that, in Proverbs 31:28, it says, one day they'll rise up and they'll call you blessed. Let me ask you something. What does it matter if she doesn't become the homecoming queen? What does it matter if he's not the starting fullback on the football team or the quarterback? What does it matter if he's not valedictorian? What does it matter if she's not the head of this and that? If when they grow up, they still know the Lord, that's what matters. All those other things pass away. They're not going to remember them at their death or your death. What does it matter? Let me tell you what matters. It matters what Eunice and them did. They left a legacy. They taught them about the Lord. They taught them how to pray. They taught them how to forgive. They taught them how to love. What about you? Can you do that? I'll tell you, if you'll do those things and more, that one day your children will rise up and call you blessed. We have in this book, recorded forever, the words about Eunice and Lois. What a legacy. As we close, I want to introduce you to a couple of other mothers. I need to talk to heaven a moment. Anthusia? Anthusia, are you up there? Some of you are going, well, who was Anthusia? Anthusia was the most beautiful woman in Ephesus on the Orontes. She lost her husband at a very early age. She had kings and potentates and princes come to her to try to woo and marry her. But Anthusia had a son by the name of John. And Anthusia poured her life into John, who preachers know as John the Golden-Mouthed Chrysostom. John Chrysostom, long time ago. But I want to tell you, Dwight Moody and Billy Graham and Charles Stanley and preachers like myself know about John the Golden Mouth Chrysostom. Nobody preached like that man preached. He grew up in a single mother home. But she poured her life into him. And to this day, preachers still talk about John the Golden Mouth. Susanna. Susanna, are you up there? Susanna, you were a birth machine. You had 12 children. Your husband was a sorry preacher, and you were a brilliant woman. Susanna, you could have worked outside the home. You could have done it all. You could have been something in England. You know what Susanna would say? See, you see that boy over there? That's my boy Charles. See that other boy over there? That's my boy John. Charles and John Wesley. Oh, I didn't ever do a whole lot outside the home, but I poured myself into my children. And my son Charles and my son John shook two continents for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Frances, are you up there? I know you are.
Mary Frances, you grew up in Eastern North Carolina and you had a college degree when women didn't have college degrees. You were smart, but you chose to stay home and raise four children and teach them about the Lord. Mary Frances, why?
You know what she'd say?
She'd say, three of my children are active professionals, all deeply Christian who love the Lord. And the fourth one stands before you this day. 30 years having preached the gospel that I poured into his heart. Moms and dads, leave them a legacy. And one day, they'll rise up and call you blessed. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the closing of this service and we move to a time of fellowship, there are some mothers here, and there are some fathers, there are some children. Lord, maybe the relationship with their mother is broken. Maybe some mothers have a strained relationship with their children or with their husband. I pray today, God, that you'll touch their heart and make it better. Lord, if there's a child here today that has never accepted you as Savior, they can do their mother the greatest favor in the world by coming to know Jesus today. Lord, if there's a father here today that has never given his life to Christ, he can give his family a brand new father. He can give his family a brand new husband by coming to know Christ. Father, if there's a mother here today that doesn't know you, she can change her family forever today. It's not too late. It's never too late, Lord. Tell them, Lord. Holy Spirit, tell them to leave a legacy. And one day, they'll rise up and call you blessed. Amen. As we come in our time of invitation, I want to ask you, do you know the Lord? You may say, well, I haven't done a great job of passing on to my children or my grandchildren the faith I have. You can start today. It can change today. God could change you today. I want to tell you this. My mother wasn't perfect. She was not perfect. But I sure did love her, like I hope you loved yours. As we sing, let's celebrate. And if you have a decision you need to make, I'll be down front to receive you. And then we're going to close the service, have a blessing, and all the men are going to go over and uncover the dishes, and the women are going to stay in here, and we'll call for you. Amen. Let's stand together.
that we're going over. We're going to have lunch. Did we usually do the blessing in here, or did we do it over there? In here? Oh, that's so you can eat quicker. Okay, I understand. Come eat with us if you haven't. I checked it out and tasted several things, and there's nothing poison over there. Amen? Leave, and I don't know if there are any. If there are any fried pies, don't touch them. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have the rest of this day, maybe to love on our mothers a little bit, or maybe we just get to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a godly mother. She wasn't perfect, but she loved me, and she loved you. They aren't perfect, but they love us, and they love you. Lord, bless our food, bless our fellowship, bless our travels as we go home this day. In Jesus' name, amen.